Did we miss some?
No, we're fine.
Oh, good.
Can you say that rivalry again?
Yeah, well, there's sort of a rivalry because when I was in elementary school, it was at the Harvey Wheeler School. That was the only school in West Concord. The other school in Concord, which is down this hill, was the Peter Bulkley. That was the only other Peter Bulkley school. B-U-L-K-E-L-E-Y, Bulkley. Peter Bulkley School. And that was named after one of the original Concordites, I guess, that came here back and was a teacher at some point, I'm not sure, 16, 1700s. Came over from England, which most of them did at that time, and dealt with the Indians. From what I understand, I wasn't around, but that's... But anyway, so that elementary school and Harvey Wheeler School in West Concord, we used to have our basketball games between the two, our baseball games, our football. I even don't think football, yeah. So it was sort of a rivalry. We never got to know those kids closely until we came to high school, and then we were all in the same class. So they joined us together, and when you see somebody every day that's sitting next to you, you know, in your class or on your teams, and you always, you get to know them then very well. And we still have talks about it. Mondays when we go to ping pong and pool, there's several of them that grew up in Concord. And they always say, oh, there's things in West Concord. Say, hey, there's a Concordite. Don't tell him anything. We always viewed as a, and it was a myth, but that more people in Concord were in a different class than we were in West Concord.
A different class.
By that I mean there was more wealth, there was more people in Concord that had money, lived in bigger houses, lived a life where you didn't know they had money. They wore old clothes, wore old sneakers, drove old cars. Didn't want you to know that they lived in communities such as Neshottok Hill. So we all lived right around West Concord. Most of the families that lived in the center around the village of West Concord, parents worked in either the prison, Allen Chair Corporation, which was a building built, a woodworking place, three large buildings. On the railroad, there were three or four other small businesses in West Concord. They had the Garnett Factory, the woolen mill. Now, Dan Hayes, his transportation man was a fellow by the name of J.R. Kelly. He had a large trucking company. He used to do all of Dan Hayes' woolen mill transportations to and from by J.R. Kelly. Now, J.R. Kelly was a successful transportation person, had a lot of trucks with his name on them around West Concord, hired a lot of local people, had kids in school with us, never knew, sadly, the one that was in my class was killed in an automobile accident just before we graduated. So that was a traumatic experience. Handsome looking boy, too. The other owners were, we had a what they call a Conant Machine Company. They used to make the graders that would, for the coal, if you wanted to send coal up to a second story or down, they put them on these graders and they'd unload them on those, and those would mechanically send the snow removal. They made the snow removal from the streets.
When they would,
huh?
Conant
Machine Company. Conant, Conant Machine.
So they could do snow removal too?
Yeah, they used to do all, in the center of town, they would bring these big snow removal cranes and they would drive them along. They were slow, drive them along, and then these tracks would take the snow up and load it onto the trucks, and then they'd take the snow from the centers of the town, West Concord and Concord. More so in Concord than they did in West Concord. We always complained that, hey, they get all the snow removal, we get nothing up here. But we had a lot of fun with it over the years, but there's a lot of truth to it, too, because during the days that I grew up, the town, and I can remember talking, didn't really put a lot of effort into Wisconsin. They always felt that it was self-sustaining. We had everything up here we needed. We don't have to do too much with it. Properties were mostly owned by 8 or 10 families or people. Land was mostly owned by 4 or 5 people, wealthy people who made a lot of money. There was one doctor that lived, we had one doctor in town, let me think of his last name now. He lived on Highland Street, owned a lot of the property over by some of the schools over by towards White's Pond area. His name, I know it as good as I think, you know, I had to go to him to get vaccinated before we went to school. his name will come to me. So anyway, that was West Concord. It was different than Concord. We never would come to Concord as kids. Never come to, because there was nothing here. There was nothing here to come to. There was one place on a Saturday mornings at a period at the Monument Hall, they call it. They used to have roller skating inside on Saturday morning for the kids. We used to come down, we'd ride our bikes or we'd hitchhike down, and then they had these clamp-on roller skates you could clamp on your shoes, and we'd spend hours going around in there. That was the only thing we'd come to Concord for. There was no other, they never had anything here. They never had, the town never had a swimming pool, didn't have an ice rink. We built one ice rink in West Concord on the right out playground. It was built by the people, the locals themselves, interested in playing hockey. Built the boards themselves. We had a family, B. Harrell. Old Ike B. Harrell was, I believe, an old Norwegian that came over here that probably at the turn of the century was a craftsman. Built a lot of the houses around the center of town. Had two sons, Reed and Ted, and they followed along in the business. Old Ike passed away. We had a lot of what we call a harness shop, which is where I live on Harness Shop Hill. It was a large shop, a building, and they made leather. They processed leather for the horses, for saddles and things like that. They sold a lot to the military during World War I and II, I believe. So that was a very busy place. We had several farmers that lived in town. Mr. Derby lives right where the 7-Eleven had, and he had a big farm and a house next to it. He had cattle, and he used to graze his cattle along the Assabet River. He'd bring them down Route 62 and bring them down into the, and he let the cattle drink out of the river. It was a unique place to grow up. If we went someplace, we went to Maynard. Now, as we got older, a lot of the older kids, if they wanted to get a drink, they would go to Maynard because Maynard was loaded with bar rooms. And some of the... let me put this in perspective. During World War II, it was very quiet around town. I can still remember the day World War II ended. I was on the playground, it was in the summer, and we had a teacher, a counselor, a young lady, and I still see her now. She's at this independent living facility. She's older now. So I see her quite often. She still remembers those days, but is having some memory issues. So I talked to her a lot about the day World War II ended. We all got on our bikes and went down into West Concord. And everybody that was coming through us were blowing their horns, and we were, you know, just... Then a lot of the veterans, the young men that were coming back from World War II that were just a little bit older than we were, would hang out in West Concord. They had no place else to go. Some had cars. They were all what they would call members of the 5220 Club, I believe they called it. Used to hear that term a lot, 5220. And I was, well, what is that? And that's how much they were getting a month from the government after they, you know, for their service. And many of them came back, had been through a lot. Of course, we never realized that. But they used to hang out at Joe Hayes or the drugstore. and they would decide where they would go. And it was always they would go to Maynard because that's where they could get a drink and have their laughs and be with their buddies. Never come to Concord because there was no place to drink in Concord when they got older. So that was a period when it was very active in West Concord. A lot of those young men who were from the families of West Concord came back. There used to be there's a square in West Concord called Kenny Dunn Square. Kenny, his first name is Kenneth. They called him Kenny. Last name is Dunn, D-U-N-N. He was the first West Concord that was killed in World War II. He was killed on Guadalcanal, 1941. He was with the local National Guard unit that went from Concord. They named the square after him. There's another fellow, I mentioned the name of a friend of mine, Jerry Muscarello. His brother was killed on Guadalcanal also. Muscarello, M-O-S-C-A-R-I-E-L-L-O, Muscarello. His brother was killed on Guadalcanal. And they gave him a battlefield commission, I believe. Now, a lot of those veterans, when they were going to high school before they went in, and some of them that were in high school left to go into the military, did 2 or 3 years in the military, and then came back and went back to high school. Some played on the football teams. So it was fascinating now when you look back and understand that they were high school kids, the war broke out, they were 17 years old, or probably 17. Some 16 probably lied about their age, you know, and went into the service, went off and fought in foreign lands, and then came back, and then went back and got their high school diploma in high school at Concord. There were a number of them. I still have some that I know, and some have passed on. So that was a fascinating time. Right near what they call Kenny Dunn Square was a gas station. It was a little Texaco station. It was right at the end of Dan Hayes' Garnett Mill. He sold Texaco gas and oil there. His name was Winnie. And all the kids that were waiting to go to school would always go in there, and the same kids every day, and they called it Winnie's Gang. So they were Winnie's Gang that hung out there. You know, mostly boys. And they'd crowd into this little gas station to stay warm, waiting for the bus. All the girls would have to stand outside. That's where my sister would be. She would have been great to have here because she could probably remember those days too. But I'm sure that the girls didn't feel comfortable going in there with, 20 or 25 young men in there waiting to go to school. So they call that Winnie's Gang. And a lot of those guys went off and fought in the wars and then came back. There were, I think, 3 Concordites that were killed on Guadalcanal. One had a Kenny Dunn Square named after him. The other was given a battlefield commission. And the third one, I think they named a ship after him, if I'm not mistaken. His name was George Heiliger.
Heiliger.
H-E-Y-L-I-G-E-R.
Heiliger.
And his brother was my teacher in high school. He was like the shop teacher. Nice guy, good guy. Strict, you know. You had to, when you went to his class, you had to pay attention, or you'd get one of these big races off the head, you know.
His name was
not sure of his first name. We always call him Mr. Heiliger. But he was George Heiliger's brother.
And what did they have you do in shop?
They used to bring, don't get me going on these, but they used to bring cars, or they'd go down and they had woodworking shop and they'd make woodworking. We had a woodworking teacher by the name of Mr. Ashline, and he had all kinds of polish tools in there. And he'd show you how I made a table there, you know, I had the course. My mother kept that table for years. It came out pretty good, probably only because Mr. Ashline made sure that we followed the directions and did everything, used the lathes and the power machines properly. And then when we finished, we glued them all, put a coat of varnish on them, and brought them home. I can remember there was a stop in a red and white store in Wisconsin. A friend of mine, his name was Rodney Pierce. I think his mother was part owner, but he worked in there from time to time. Mr. Heiliger said to us one day at that class, he said, if anyone here knows of anyone or has a car that you want to have directional signals put on, we have directional signal kits that have been given to us, and we will install them here, and we'll teach you how to install them. In those days, no one, you know, they didn't have directional signal. You had to put your hand out the window. You remember those days? If you were going left, you put your hand out. If you were going right, you put it up this way. So we, and this had to be in the early 50s. So I was going by, walking home one day after school, going by the red and white store in Wisconsin, and Rodney was in there. So I went in, Todd. I said, hey, Rock, you have a car. Are you interested in having your directional signal? Oh, geez, he was fascinated by that. He said, yeah. I think it was an old 40. I said, okay. We have to get it down to the high school. I said, I'll check to find out when you have to get it there, and we'll get you a ride back or something. So he brought the car down eventually, and we worked on it for I don't know how long, and we installed these directional signals. You know, I had to take out all the lights and get all these wires and run them under the floorboards, around the back, into the... And Mr. Heiliger knew what he was doing, of course, but we had no idea. So we did Mr. Rock Pierce's car, and when I got the car back to him, about a week later, he said, hey, Dick, how come when I put on my signal to turn right, sometimes the light on the left rear will come on? You know, we had a great laugh about that. I said, well, it may be something in the wiring that got a little mixed up. So... But those were great days because, you know, you dealt with the community and you dealt with the teachers and they taught you a lot about how to... Don't ask me. Then, of course, they were all installed in the factories and you never had to worry about them.
Well, if how you speak about all this is any indication, then it sounds like there was a certain amount of pride in West Concord.
Oh, very much so. Kids that grew up...
Rather than people wishing that they could have been from Concord proper.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, we always admired the fact that we were from... We loved the fact that they left us alone up there. We had our own little community. And as kids, we liked it. We stayed there. We didn't come to Concord. We never felt part of Concord. I don't think Concord ever felt part of West Concord. Then it began to change back probably in the 60s and the 70s. They started to develop large plots of land and build houses, and people from the, you know, from out of state or from other parts of Massachusetts came and said, oh, Concord. Well, now, it was interesting. I don't know if this is true or not, but we had our own zip code in West Concord. It was different than Concord. People moved to West Concord living in a development area, and realized after they moved here that their zip code was different than Concord's. Said, hey, I thought we lived in Concord. No, you're in West Concord. Oh, is there a difference? Big difference. And I understand that some people that had a different zip weren't happy and got together and approached the post office or whatever. I don't know if that's true, but it could be a myth. But we always kid about it. Hey, we have our own zip code up here. We have our own post office. We have our own train station. We have our own church. We have our own stores. What else do we need? Nothing. And what we have, you don't have in Concord. A community. Most people in Concord in those days lived in Monument Street. I mean, there were a few that lived around here, of course, that had close friends, three or four or five of them. But we had... every young kid in West Concord, most every young kid, I'd have to say, would end up in West Concord, because that's where all your friends were. That's what you did on a Saturday or a Sunday or a night. And you could always know when you went there, something, somebody would get a bright idea. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And that was a great place to grow up. Was found a.
Well, you've painted a really beautiful picture of
yes.
it.
You think so?
We've heard other people talk about West Concord, but not the way you talk about it.
It's yeah. wonderful. Thank
yeah.
you.
Oh, you're
just
welcome. Yeah, just, I mean, I'm sure there's. I could go on for another, but you get the picture. You know, you understand.
It's a wonderful picture. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
yeah.
Thank you.
I mean, if there's anything else that you'd like to know about it or any difference, probably people could. It's hard, I guess, unless you did grow up there. When somebody read this, they say, oh, geez, what's he talking about? No, that's not like that. But it was, yeah. Back in the, I mean, I was born in 34, so I was in the 30s, and we came to West Concord. So I saw it from the 30s to the 40s to the 50s. And now it's altogether different. Yeah. But, I mean, we're all older, and we expect those things are going to happen. Right? Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. It's been my pleasure. I hope I haven't bored.
No, not at all. This is very, very intriguing.